Thanks for coming back for our afternoon service on Mission Renewal Sunday. Let's stand together as we start with a song, Across the Land. We'll sing three verses as we begin our services.
You're the Word of God the Father, from before the world began. Every star and every planet has been fashioned by your hand. All creation holds together by the power of your voice. Let the skies declare your glory. Let the land and seas rejoice. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And your cry of love rings out across the lands. Yet you left the gaze of angels, came to seek and save the lost, and exchange the joy of heaven for the anguish of the cross. With a prayer you fed the hungry, with a word you calmed the sea. Yet how silently you suffer, that the guilty may go free. You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And your cry of love rings out across the land. With a shout you rose victorious, wresting victory from the grave, and ascended into heaven, leading captives in your way. Now you stand before the Father, interceding for your own. From each tribe and tongue and nation, you are leading sinners.
Sing it out.
You're the author of creation. You're the Lord of every man. And your cry of love rings out across the land.
Amen. Great singing. You can be seated.
One at Wixom. Excuse me. Good afternoon, everyone at Wixom, First Baptist Church of Wixom. We're Mike and Dawn Jewell, and we're church planting missionaries sent out by First Baptist Church of Lake Orion, Michigan. So we've been here for 24 and a half years. And we were sent a few questions that might help you understand our ministry better. So here we go.
First question. Mike and Dawn, how are you doing personally? We do praise the Lord that the Lord has given us health. I did have just a cold, regular cold a few weeks ago, but everybody obviously would be a little concerned that it was COVID. But within 3 or 4 days, praise the Lord, it was gone and back to ministry times. Mike has not received it, which is a huge blessing. And so that has been our wellness for the last year.
Yeah, we weren't sick at all. We have a small church. We're part of a small church of about 25 to 30, and none of our people got COVID the whole last year. So that's been a blessing. All right, second question is, how has COVID changed your ministry? Of course, we were on total lockdown. We moved from Sorocaba to Tatuí the very week that COVID hit. And so we were basically on lockdown for quite a few weeks after that. And we would meet via WhatsApp, which is something that's used down here in Brazil. And so we had our prayer meeting and we had our church service prayer meeting by WhatsApp for a few weeks. I think it was 3 weeks total, and then we decided to begin to meet again. We have the advantage of having members of our church that are working on a sod farm, and it's quite a distance from the city center. So we were able to travel to their home, and we met basically the whole time that supposedly everything was in restriction. And so we were blessed by that aspect of being able to meet on Sundays. We met Sunday morning. Had Sunday school, we had lunch afterwards, spent the afternoon together, and then in the evening we would pray by WhatsApp. On Wednesday night, we would be at that couple's house and have our prayer time. And so that basically is how COVID has changed our ministry last year. This year, we began a preaching point, which is like a small new church plant. But we did that for about 6 weeks. Because of COVID, we didn't see much results. We had a total of 6 or 7 visitors in those 6 weeks. And so some seed we've planted, but other than that, we've decided to change our gears and go to another area of town to begin a new preaching point. What new ministry opportunities have you had this past year? That the new preaching point was the highlight of our year as far as new ministries. And we see the opportunity continuing as we look to a new neighborhood where a couple from our church has lived and saw great results as they had their home open for in-home Bible studies. And so we're going to begin in-home Bible studies in that neighborhood. We had a couple that was from our church that was living in the house that we're going to use, and they just moved this last week. So we hope to begin a preaching point or a Bible studies at that home, as well as possible English class that we'll use to spread the gospel. So that's the possible opportunity we have. Okay, how can we better pray for your church? Pray for protection. We're hearing rumblings from all over the world, just like you are, of persecution in Myanmar especially. And so, you know, lately there's been talk of military takeover down here in Brazil because of the people are revolting against the idea of this constant lockdown and constant lack of goods and services and things like that. So we'll see how that works out, but we just pray that the Lord will use us in and through this and that we will be strong in faith. Our last question is,
how can we pray better for you? Specifically our health, that we would continue to be strong and be able to continue making the visits, doing the in-home Bible studies. Also, we are planning a quick trip to the States. Our middle daughter will be having a baby, and we will go and help her for about 3.5 weeks with her 4 boys that are from 13 down to 6 years old. And also that we would just have wisdom as we work with people that some do not know how to read, some do not know how to write, and that we would have God's wisdom for us to be able to make His word very plain to them so they would see their need of a Savior and, after they've accepted Christ, grow in that area.
So that's who we are, where we serve. Tatuí is about 70 or 80 kilometers straight west of São Paulo, if you know where that is, and we're in Brazil. And you've been supporting us since, I think, 1995. So we praise the Lord for your help and your prayer support and your financial support. So that's us. Thank you for praying.
Bye.
Bye.
Blessing to get to see and hear from them, amen. And the fact that, you know, everybody's going through some difficulties, but to better know how to pray specifically for our missionaries, I think is a great way to partner with them. I want to sing a song this morning or this afternoon, and it's called Leave With Nothing Left. I had heard it several years ago, and Lord kind of put it on my heart this past week. I was planning on singing a different song totally for today, but the thought of this song is just so impactful to me, because the big theme is we live so focused on either gathering jewels here, right, investing on earthly things, or we get so focused on heaven that we miss opportunities, right? And Philippians 1 talks about that, as Paul writes, and he says, for to me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. So there's both aspects, something I can be contributing to. And so the chorus of this song ends with, I don't want to leave here with regrets. I want to leave with nothing left.
Could it be that we're so heavenly minded that somehow we've been blinded to what He's calling us to do right here? Could it be that heaven's always planned it, that we leave here empty-handed when this life disappears. But is it really living if my one ambition is simply hanging on till we all get out of here? I don't want to waste a breath, one heartbeat in this chest. I want to see His kingdom coming. I won't wish my life away. I want to live each day to give away what I've been given. I don't want to leave here with regret. I want to leave with nothing left. When I think of all that I've been given, what I've learned from living, know exactly what I need to do. So I pray that God will give me chances to show how great His grace is by living out His truth. If somehow I could choose it, I'd be the one God uses to make a difference in what forever means to you. And I don't want to waste a breath, one heartbeat in this chest. I want to see His kingdom coming. I won't wish my life away. I want to live each day to give away what I've been given. I don't want to leave here with regret. I want to leave with nothing left. And I don't want to waste a breath, one heartbeat in this chest. I want to see His kingdom coming. I won't wish my life away. I want to live each day to give away what I've been given. I don't want to leave here with regret. I want to leave with nothing left. I want to leave with nothing left. I want to leave with nothing left.
Well, we asked Stephen to do junior church and the afternoon session. I'm sorry, brother. You drew the short straw. So next time, bring your family with you. No, I'm just kidding. It's a blessing to partner with Stephen and Julie. And ever since we met them, just been grateful to have a part in their ministry. Some of you may not know or remember that we supported Stephen's folks when he was a kid. And as a missionary kid, and now it's a blessing to support him and Julie and the work they're doing in Burkina Faso, an exciting ministry. If you don't read their letters, you're missing out on some pretty cool missionary action going on in West Africa. And so it's great to have you here, Stephen. Thanks for coming and sharing with us and preaching the word today.
Thank you, Pastor Staley. It's good to be back at First Baptist Church of Wixon. And my wife so wanted to come, but we've had so much travel recently. We're not the strategizing missionary typical that say, let's stay in this state during this month. And we just go where the doors open and then pick ourselves up from the floor eventually after we drop. But it's a joy to be back and fellowship with several of you and spend time with the kids. And when I was sitting there, I was thinking, man, there's good news and there's bad news. How many of you want to hear the good news first? Okay. The good news is, man, we've eaten good. Thank you for all those who participated. And I didn't have enough room in my stomach to eat a taste of everything that was presented, but I enjoyed what I ate. The bad news is that after you've eaten like that, it's time for nap. And so if any of you feel like you're dozing off, you're welcome to stand up and maybe try to get some blood flowing through the body again. But what I would like to do is immediately show the video. And then right after the video, I'll share a few testimonies of what the Lord's been able to do recently, last year. And I know several of you are following our ministry very closely with the prayer letters. And we've had opportunities in past years to come back and give little reports through the years several times. And so we praise the Lord for that. And then right after the few testimonies, then I'll share a thought from God's Word. And so at this time, we'll have the video. You don't have a video because I didn't give it to you. That's what happened there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some testimonies, and then we'll have the video. So we've been in Burkina Faso since 2014, and moving there, and there will be a lot of information on that. But just recently, the last year, 2020, of course, was a big year in different ways. And in our ministry, we had to come back on an emergency furlough because of terrorism, terrorist activity increasing in Burkina Faso. And then, so that was 2019 in December. And then just a few months after that, the coronavirus just kind of spread. And that shut pretty much everything down in Burkina. The police was actually patrolling in the streets, and if they found a gathering, they would go in, beat up the leader, and threaten to shut them down if they didn't respect the shutdown of the government. And so in a third world country, you understand that no one's going to sue the government or the police for doing that type of thing. And so people were really scared, and it was natural for people to stop their gatherings. Bienvenu is the young man we've been training, and you'll see his picture in just a moment in the video. And he was overwhelmed a lot with the responsibility, everything going on. In addition, many of you might recall one of the young faithful men in the church who had schizophrenia, paranoia, and that really shook the church. A lot of the folks were kind of confused and hesitant to even come to church because of his presence. He had a behavior that was really totally different from his normal behavior. But thankfully, I was able to come back to Burkina, go back to Burkina in October of 2020. And we were able to get him the doctor's appointment and necessary treatments. He wasn't cooperative, so I had to call the police to escort him because he was fearing the shot, which he knew he had taken years back before we had ever met. And thankfully, just a few weeks back, I was able to get a message from him, from David, and he said that he wants to get involved in church like he was before. And so, of course, I contacted the folks of the church to see what do they think of that. And they said, we feel like he's back to normal. He's been given opportunities to pray, and we feel like he's back to normal. And so we praise the Lord that the treatments have worked, and that now he's able to help with translation and helping in scripture reading and in different ministries that he was really helping with. And so that was a big answer to prayer for us, because that started in, I believe it was February, right after my first trip there. And a few things had happened in the church that provoked that behavior, and excessive stress and that type of thing. And so I talked with Bienvenu, and Bienvenu told me, Pastor, I really feel overwhelmed. I don't feel prepared to lead this church in your absence. So when I went back in October, we asked a young man that was trained by a missionary friend. His name is Mamadou, and he was available to serve, and the church unanimously voted to have him as interim pastor of the church until we return full-time to Burkina Faso. And so that was a really encouraging time. The church is doing very well. Also, when I was there, we had the opportunity to get the soul winning ministries up and running again because everything had stopped because of social distancing and fear of the government. So the second week after we had started up the soul winning efforts, we were able to see a young man really interested. His name is Shukat, and he remains faithful. I'm in communication with him right now. He was a former Muslim, and not only so, but his father had used his funds to build a mosque in the community. So not only was he a Muslim, but he was the son of a reputable Muslim man in the community, very respected, who had made several trips to Mecca. And so they have a special title for these people. They're big, honorable Muslims. But when I shared a gospel tract with that young man and told him about his need for a payment for sin, and the only payment is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he really seemed interested, and he promised, like thousands of other people who we've shared the gospel with, that, yeah, I'll come to church. But for him, it was different because he actually showed up. And so it was really encouraging, and I was later had the opportunity to really try to answer any questions he had and to explain to him the gospel as completely as I could. And he surprised me at the end. He said, well, if I'm going to attend your church, I need to start acting like a Christian. And when he immediately said that, the only thing I could think of was, well, there's a lot of people who don't act like Christians and who do attend church even faithfully. But in his mind, he didn't understand that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we don't need to prove to God anything in order to have something, eternal life, or be called a Christian, or be a part of the church. And so with religion, you have to prove something in order to get something. But in the Bible, we find that God has done everything that is necessary for our salvation. And all we have to do is believe in what Jesus has done for us and trust in His shed blood on Calvary for us. And so after our meeting, he prayed and trusted Christ as his personal Savior. And it was really encouraging because after the few months, he saw one of his brothers pass away in a car accident, tragically. And he buried also his father before the end of the year. So he's been really shaken up, and he had a girlfriend, and they broke it off, and that type of thing. So he's really searching, and he's really trying to find what God has for him. But we're really encouraged that he's being discipled by one of our faithful young men in the church, and I'm able to keep in touch with him as well through WhatsApp. And so that's a big blessing. But please pray for Shukat. He's still new in the faith, but he's progressing. It was really encouraging. When I first met him, he said he had health issues. He had a hard time sleeping at night. And then 3 days after he trusted Christ as his personal Savior, I asked him, well, how are you sleeping now? And he said, I've never slept this well. And so it's really encouraging to see already the transformation. One of the encouraging things, too, was he was telling me to pray for his dad before he passed away. Of course, it was unexpected. And he wanted to share the gospel with his dad, the good news that he had received. He wanted his dad to hear it. But he was very careful in the wording, and he was trying to do it in a gentle way, you could say. We're really encouraged that he has the right desire to get the gospel to his family as well. And so we praise the Lord for that. I think, is the video ready? Okay, I'm going to share one last testimony, and then we'll have the video. We have a couple in the church, and you probably kept up with them, Omar and Safi, and they've been with us since before the church began when we had done the Bible study. You'll see those details in the video. But we're really encouraged by them because they're really growing in their faith. They're learning from the Bible and just taking every word as it came directly from God. And that's really encouraging. They ask questions. They want to progress. Recently, in recent years, we've seen them starting to sit together. Now, this is maybe not surprising in our culture, but in Burkina Faso, all the men sit on one side of the auditorium and all the women sit on the other side. And so for a couple to sit together is not normal. And so as we teach God's Word and we tell them about the family unit and what God has for the home, and for the children to grow up with a father that is a spiritual leader and a mother that is a helpmeet, and them being united in the faith to show the good example to the next generation, we've seen Omar and Safi starting to sit together in church. And that's, let me tell you, that's a culture shock for the Burkina Bay people to see that. And so, but we're really encouraged because right before we left, we saw not only them sitting together, but also other couples in the church started to sit together as well. And so now we've divided the auditorium into three sections. The ladies on one side, the single men on the other side, and the married couples all in the middle. And it's wonderful to see people saved, but then to see them grow in their faith. And many of us have children, and we have some of them that are really young, 4, 2, and just a few months old. And it gives us a pleasure not only to see them, but it's a great treasure to see them grow. And sometimes we see them doing things that we do that we don't like, and so we have to be careful with that. But to see them learn from the word of from our example, from the word of God, why we try to teach them. And things as simple as praying at a meal or praying before going to bed or that type of thing, and to see them starting to grow, that's really exciting. And so in the church, it's the same way. We have to be patient with the new believers and help them one step at a time grow in their faith. And it's just exciting to see the church mature spiritually, reach out to in their community. And so we're thankful that right now the kids club is up and running again, and the folks of the church are leading that, and also the soul winning ministries are still going. It's pretty amazing because in Africa, because malaria is so fatal, coronavirus, you know, after two or three months, the government saw that it's not that big of a deal. And so everything reopened in Burkina. We can go back in Burkina. You'll wear a mask in the airplane, in the airport. But once you leave the airport, you can't find anybody wearing a mask. And if they are wearing masks, it's because they're protecting themselves from the dust because of the climate there. And so it's really encouraging to see the church maturing during this last year through difficulties. And I'll bring a little bit, I'll extend that thought after the video. But the reality is, without trying of faith, it cannot be increased. And another thing is that as we've been away from Burkina, to see the church move forward is a tremendous encouragement. We are reminded that Jesus will build his church, and it's his church. And sometimes, you know, as church planting missionaries, you know, we feel like we have to be there. We have to hold it together. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is real, and Jesus is still in the business of building his church. And it's exciting just to have a small part in what the Lord is doing around this world. A last great news that we've seen since we've been gone from Burkina is tithes and offerings. Not only the church has been supporting the interim pastor for a very comfortable salary, but they have additional funds that are surplus that they have to deposit into the church account. And usually we had to do that maybe once or twice a year because we don't want to keep too much money in the church location. And so we have a bank account where we deposit money. And this time, with giving a comfortable salary to the interim pastor, I had set up things for the church to go into the bank account to extract money to give to the pastor. But they have so much giving right now that not only they're paying the pastor, but they have surplus and they have to go and deposit money in the bank account. To me, and I know maybe it's some other missionaries in third world countries, that's a miracle. That's a big step forward in the church being autonomous. And so we're really encouraged with that. Right now, as it stands, they're able, if they have a full-time pastor, they would be able to support that pastor financially. And so that's a huge blessing. And, of course, we can't take credit for that because we're not there. And sometimes there's little reminders that God tells us, you know, that He's in control, whatever happens. And so we're just encouraged. And thank you, church, for your prayers, because we couldn't be there without your prayer support and your financial support. So thank you very much. And so at this time, I think we'll have the video. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. We are the Knickerbocker family, planting churches in Burkina Faso, West Africa, since 2014. We were trained for the ministry at Crown College of the Bible and are sent from Temple Baptist Church in Powell, Tennessee. We are utilizing the services of Worldwide New Testament Baptist Missions in Kings Mountain, North Carolina, to assist us in serving the Lord. Burkina Faso is a small landlocked nation in the heart of West Africa. This country of 21 million people primarily follows the Islamic religion. The average person in Burkina Faso is 18 years old, and life expectancy is 55 years old. When we moved to Burkina Faso the summer of 2014, we served with a veteran missionary family for 1 year and with another missionary family for 4 months. While we were serving with these missionaries, we began consistently sharing the gospel door-to-door in our own neighborhood. Out of that effort, a Bible study was started in our home, and before long, the faithful attendees asked when a church was going to be formed. God was at work in our present location, although we were planning and praying to plant a church in a different location. The Lord gave us peace about forming a church with the believers from the Bible study group, and 2 years later, we were privileged to inaugurate the Bible Baptist Church of Bulmugu. We began by renting a piece of property and building a dismountable building to meet in. 2 years after the church was inaugurated, the Lord led us to purchase property for the church and were able to take down the dismountable building and remount it on the new property. Through the church, we were able to organize a weekly children's Bible club and train workers for it. We also had the privilege of baptizing 10 people who completed the new members' training class. We had the opportunity to celebrate 2 weddings at the church, organize Faith Promise Giving Program and missions conferences, host family conferences and conferences on Baptist heritage. Julie organized a monthly women's meeting, and I organized one as well for the men. I also had the opportunity to do translation work and create resources that have not only benefited our church, but also other local churches that have been planted by missionary friends. We have also had the privilege to respond to invitations to preach or teach in churches of like faith for conferences and special meetings. Shortly after inaugurating the church in November of 2016, a young Muslim man named Bienvenu, who had gotten saved, talked to me about being a pastor. Due to his novice level in the faith, I told him to remain faithful and be involved in ministry to see God confirm his calling in his life. It has been several years now, and it is exciting to see what God has done in Bienvenu's life and how he is being used to minister to others. I have begun to train him to be a pastor and am eager to see him ordained to the gospel ministry when we return to Burkina Faso. It has been encouraging to see initiative with the church members as they are inviting family, friends, and neighbors to church. The members are united and are taking ownership of the church. They volunteer to clean and greet others, take care of the children in the nursery, and plan special events without our help. This has been a most exciting time in the life of the church, and everyone is encouraged to be able to call a property their own to the level that they have volunteered their time and efforts to build the church building themselves.
Since our time in Burkina Faso, we have witnessed a dramatic increase in terrorist activity. Because of a sharp rise in kidnapping and terrorist attacks, the U.S. Embassy has changed the travel advisory level from 3 to 4, 4 being the most dangerous level. As a result of this ongoing development, we contacted our pastor, who urged us to return to the U.S. for safety. While we wait to see how the safety situation evolves, I am making trips back and forth to Burkina Faso to help the church that we planted reach an autonomous state. We pray to see a noticeable improvement in the safety situation in Burkina, that we may return there as a family. Lord willing, when we complete our furlough in July of 2021, we will return to Burkina Faso and finish what was started in the first church plant. Once the church reaches independence, we will follow the Lord's leading in planting a second church. We would like to leave you with 3 prayer requests. Number 1, please pray for the improvement of the safety situation in Burkina Faso. Secondly, please pray for the Bible Baptist Church to keep growing numerically and spiritually. And lastly, please pray for Bienvenu as he is being trained to pastor the church. Thank you for your prayers for us and for the cause of Christ in Burkina Faso.
You say thank you?
Thank you!
Thank you.
Kizé, you say thank you?
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to give a quick update on the video. This video was made about a year ago, and we are really thrilled that since then, terrorist activity has dramatically decreased, and there has been a presidential election in last November in Burkina Faso, and everything went smoothly, which is another miracle for Africa. And so well, thank you for your prayers for that. We're eager to get back to Burkina. We're traveling on furlough through July, and then in August, I will be returning by myself to get a new house set up for the family, and then we'll get the family back to Burkina, and Lord willing, before the end of this year. And so that's our goal. And so please help us pray that we would be able to get that done. Please take your Bibles with me and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13, and because I'm a human, and I know there's many other humans with me in this building, I'm going to ask you to stand and maybe get some blood flow so that we don't fall asleep. And we'll read a few verses here. while you're finding your place, I'd like to mention just a quick word about a book that's located on our table. It's my wife made a cookbook of local recipes from Burkina Faso. And so you're welcome to take a look at it. If you like to try new things, you're welcome to get it. And as you cook and prepare Burkina Bay food, you can pray for the Knickerbockers in Burkina Faso. And so she made everything from the pictures, the design, the recipes. She had a few ladies in the church help her to get certain meals together and learn about the ingredients that go in them and that type of thing. And so if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer those at the end of the meeting. Hebrews chapter 13, and we'll begin reading in verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. The Bible says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts, whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, are burned without the camp. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Verse 13. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. You may be seated. As we come to the book of Hebrews, we immediately know that the reality is that Jesus is better, greater than everything. He surpasses everything. we find that there's one theme in the Scripture, whether it be the Old Testament or the New, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, we have announcements of the coming Messiah. In the New Testament, we have the realization of the coming of the Messiah. I like to help people visualize the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament in this way. We've all seen billboards that advertise certain restaurants, and sometimes on those billboards they'll have attractive pictures of juicy foods or goods that look succulent to eat. But if you saw someone park on the side of the highway and climb up that billboard and start ripping the pieces of those pictures of food and start eating them, you would think to yourself, that person is crazy. Right? It would be foolish. The fact is, the billboard is not the product, but it is announcement of the product that is ahead and gives direction. And the Old Testament, in relationship to the New Testament, is exactly that. There's nothing concrete for us. There's no salvation in the Old Testament, in the law. The law came with Moses, but grace and truth came with the Lord Jesus Christ. And salvation is in no other than in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for the New Testament churches, for example, in Galatia, in the Galatian region, those churches were going back to the law when they had tasted the food of the restaurant. And they start ripping the paper off of the billboard and saying, let's eat the paper again. And so the law had its utility, but in the New Testament, when Christ came and is the fulfillment of the law, we don't need to go back to the billboard. And so when we look at the book of Hebrews, we find this relationship, of course, multiple references in the Old Testament. And we find here in verse 9 that the church is not to be carried away with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Grace came with who? With Christ. Truth and grace. And so, not with meats. Meats is a reference to the sacrificial law in the Old Testament. And so the people of God, when they had sinned, they came with an animal offering, offered the animal offering to reconcile with God. And when they went out and sinned again, they had to get another animal and make another sacrifice and so forth. We know the rituals that were done. And here in chapter 13, he talks in verse 10 of an altar, which is not the same altar that we read about in the Old Testament. And verse 10 says, we have an altar whereof they, who's they, the priesthood in the Old Testament, they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. And so it's interesting here to find that there's a pattern in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, and then for us today. Look with me in verse 11, for the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And then verse 13, let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp. Are you seeing the pattern here? In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle, in the temple, they brought a sacrifice for sin offering, and parts of the animal were burned on the altar in the house of God. But there was a sacrifice for sin, where the bullock, the animal, was certain parts were taken that were considered filthy parts in the biology of Old Testament, and these parts were burned outside of the temple, outside of the tabernacle, without the camp. Remember, God dwelt among his people, three tribes to the north, three to the south, three to the east, three to the west. All the 12 tribes surrounded the house of God. And one of those sacrifices was done in the camp, and parts of that animal were burned outside of the camp. Look in verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. You see, Jesus was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world, but he was not slain in the temple. He was slain on Mount Golgotha. He was slain at Calvary. which was outside of the gates of Jerusalem. It was outside of the camp. And so the sacrifice of Christ is the fulfillment of the sin offering that we read about in the Old Testament, where part of it was sacrificed, which was pure, holy. For example, one of the references is to the kidneys, which filters the blood, keeps the blood clean. And those organs were sacrificed in the presence of God, the rest outside of the camp. And that's exactly what Jesus did for you and for me. He took our sin, our filth upon Himself, our transgressions, and nailed it to the cross. And He presented His pure, perfect blood to God, and God was satisfied with the payment for sin once for all, an eternal sacrifice through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's for us. We have that. And so we have that picture in the Old Testament of Jesus going outside of the camp, bearing our reproach. He didn't just die for us. He died as us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Him. Now what's for us here? Verse 13, the Bible says, "Let us go forth therefore." Therefore, because of what has happened in the Old Testament, a sacrifice was burned partially in the tabernacle, the other part outside of the tabernacle. Jesus died outside of the gate, presented the blood to God in the presence of God. What do we do? "Let us go forth, therefore, unto Him," that is Jesus, "without the camp, bearing His reproach." Now, what does that mean, to be without the camp? You remember when the children of Israel sinned, Moses came down, destroyed the golden altar, and God gave new instructions to Moses and said, "I want you to pitch the tabernacle outside of the camp." And you'll find that reference in Exodus 33:7. He said, "I'm not going to dwell among a corrupted people. And I'm going to pitch my tabernacle outside of the gate. And every time that someone from my people wants to get right with me, they have to leave their ranks. They have to identify publicly that they want to get right with God. And they have to go outside of the camp." Do you understand? Outside of the camp is outside, thinking outside. You know, we have the expression, thinking outside of the box. Getting outside of the comfort zone. David left the front lines to face Goliath when everyone stayed in the comfort zone. Everybody stayed in the camp. Peter stepped out of the boat while everyone was in the comfort of the boat. Everyone was in the camp where everyone was, where everything was accepted of Christianity. And we're living in a world today where the world tells us what Christians should do, how Christians should act, how we should think. What are we to do? We're to get out of the camp. We're not to follow the reasoning of any human philosopher or human philosophy. We are to stay with the Lord Jesus Christ, stay with His Word, and not do because others do, but do because the Word of God tells us to. You know, the greatest pressure, the greatest reproach here, we find that not only in this altar, this wonderful altar of new life that we have in Christ, we die to self so that we may live for the Lord. It's an adventure, and we will find that not only we're with Him, we're outside of the camp, but we're bearing His reproach. Turn with me to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Moses talked about reproach in verse 26. The Bible says of Moses, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." Now, do you understand what this verse is saying? Here, the penman of the book of Hebrews is saying that Moses had all the treasures that this world had to offer available to him. In today's economy, he had a credit card with no credit limit. He could get whatever he wanted. He could do whatever he wanted. And yet, he chose to suffer for the cause of Christ than to enjoy the treasures that this world has to offer for a season. And today, as we think of this thought, to be out of the camp, to be with Jesus outside of the gate, bearing His reproach, that's exactly what missions is all about. If a missionary leaves his family, leaves his country, leaves his culture to go outside, why would he do that? because Jesus did it and took his sin on the cruel cross, died as a criminal among criminals. He did that for you and for me. Is it too much for him to ask of us to go across the street of our comfort zone, outside of our camp, to proclaim his name, to see people saved? I think not. And so we have this altar. And of course, the world sees the altar as a bloody mess, as something that is rejected, as something that is unnecessary. Why so much blood? Why kill an innocent man? Why? And the reason is because of your sin, because of my sin. And God is a righteous God, and he wants us to be reconciled to him, but there's only one way, and that is through blood. Without the remission, without the shedding of blood, is no remission of sin. There has to be a payment, and Christ paid for us. You see, the big reproach that we face today is not the world. We expect the world to spit in our face, to throw down our track, to reject the gospel. But the greatest pressure that we face is within our peers in the local church. I remember one time my father said, he shared a testimony with me. He said, there's someone in the church that told them that you're too holy. You're too holy. Has anybody called you too holy? Pastor Steele, the last time I checked, the problem of the church is not a problem of being too holy. It's a problem of being too carnal, fleshly. See, that's our problem. And the problem as well, as we read the New Testament, we find that we are to exhort one another daily. But instead of exhorting one another daily, you know what we've reduced our Christian fellowship to? Blessing one another daily. God bless you. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but I'm saying that what we find in the New Testament is that we ought to motivate each other unto good works. When was the last time? Talk to me about the last time you had an opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Oh, Brother Knickerbocker, why would you judge me? Why would you make me feel uncomfortable? Well, aren't we Christians? Haven't we been bought by the blood of Christ? Shouldn't we be looking for opportunities to share the gospel with people? But you see, we have put the greatest pressure on ourselves by other Christians around us, and we want to make sure we stay in the ranks, and we stay in what is normal Christian. We don't want to be some Holy Joe or some... We're not going to be Satan worshipers either, but you understand there's no middle ground in the Christian life. We're either obedient or we're disobedient. When the Holy Spirit prompts us to share the Word of God with someone, to share a tract with someone, that's not the devil's putting desires or thoughts in our heart. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we disobey by keeping silent, by doing nothing, then the flame of the Holy Spirit decreases, and we're not to quench the Holy Spirit. And the more we quench him, the less we are in harmony with the Lord, and the less we will have assurance in our life. You've probably heard about Christians who left church or left the faith or whatever. What happened? Well, there was one at one point they started saying no to the Holy Spirit. And the more you say no to him, the less loud he speaks. And the more we get away. You want to have big faith. You want to increase your faith, increase your assurance of walking with the Lord. Don't be afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But let us see the treasure in bearing reproach for Christ. He bore reproach for us. Why can't we do it for him? He purchased our eternal salvation. Oh, it ought to be a joy, and James understood it. Brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptation, because the trying of your faith will produce patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Well, we want to be perfect and entire and wanting nothing, but we don't want trials. We don't want any opposition. We want the easy way to live the Christian life, and that's an oxymoron. For they that live in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What I'm saying to you is, let's think outside of the camp. Let's not stay within the realm of what is, worldly speaking, normal Christianity. Let's walk with the Lord. Let him dictate to us what he thinks we ought to do. And let's look at persecution, difficulties, not as things that are saddening to us, but as opportunities, as joyful opportunities to be increased in our faith for the glory and for the cause, the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. And I pray that this exhortation, that this message would reside in us. We would meditate on it and help me to not be a preacher only, but to be a doer of the word. And help this church, with everything that they accomplished in the past, help them to go beyond, to think even what more could be done, where more souls could be saved, more missionaries could be sent, more churches planted, and more souls could be saved, even in this community of Wixom. And do a special work in this church. And may the best days of this church be the days ahead. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, that was a perfect message for us to end on, Stephen. Thank you. I really appreciate you bringing the word and challenging us with that. You guys have been really patient. Thank you for participating in a long day. I realize it's long. I want to just, if I could just have two more minutes of your time, I want to challenge you. We've talked a little bit about what we intend to be as a church in missions, that we are missionaries. We've talked about giving, participating in a tangible way in missions. I want to just for a couple minutes talk about engagement. You know, Stephen just challenged us to get outside of our comfort zone and allow ourselves to be stretched a little bit with respect to worldwide evangelism. Let me just give you a couple of thoughts. One, to be evangelistic. Specifically, he talked about that just a moment ago. Right now, we have a class that we're doing on Sunday nights with our exchange Bible study. Some of us still, we've been trying to give tools to our church for years now on making personal evangelism not easy, but simple. Giving you the tools so that you can implement those. And some of us still have not stepped outside of the comfort zone on that. So I just want to challenge you to be evangelistic. You want to engage with missionaries? Be one. Do it. It'll help you understand when one of these guys says, hey, I led this Muslim young man to the Lord and now I'm discipling him. If you've never led someone to the Lord or never discipled someone, that just sounds like a cool story. It doesn't matter personally. And when you engage, or when you're evangelistic, it will help you engage. Secondly, give. What did Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. So if you want to engage in missionaries, you give to missionaries, your heart will be with them. Know who they are. Know the flags that represent their countries. The six missionaries we've interacted with today, their countries are on the flags. Know those and know who they are. Read up on them. Interact with our missionaries. Their letters are on the wall. Many of our missionaries are on social media. Some of them are like really great at social media. I mean, I think of a Jay Bellew we talked with this morning. His presence on social media is really interesting. Damon Matichera in Zambia is really interesting with Chimbukezo Ministries. You want to check those out. You can. Many of our missionaries, you can sign up personally to get their updates, so you don't have to wait for us to post it. They'll send it right to you, which is a great way to stay engaged. If you send a gift right to a missionary through their missionary clearinghouse or their mission agency, I guarantee you that they'll engage with you, okay? So if you want to get a response from a missionary, you can send a gift to them and help them financially, personally. You don't have to do that through church. Do something for their wife and kids. I often think about wife and kids. I was asking Stephen today at lunch, how are Julie and the kids doing with being home on furlough, and how are they doing with anticipating going back? What are the challenges they face? Doing something to help and encourage them as well. So interacting with missionaries. Pray specifically. They're on our prayer sheet. They're on our website. They've mentioned some prayer requests today. I hope you've taken some time to write down some ways to specifically pray. Stephen's presentation ended up with three specific prayer requests for their ministry. I hope you'll pray for those things. And then I hope you'll consider going. Going on a short-term mission trip. It is so helpful to developing your own heart for missions. It's been incredibly helpful for me. A couple of our families have chosen to take vacations as mission trips and have gone for a week or two on a short-term mission trip on at their own expense. Several of our young people, four of our young people in the last couple of years, have said, I'm going. If you want to help fund me, awesome, but I'm going. And have volunteered to go either for a week or two or a couple of months, short-term mission trips. That's a great way to engage with missions as well. So there's several ideas. Stephen just challenged us from the Word. Step outside the camp for the cause of Jesus and bear his reproach. These are pretty light challenges as far as getting out of our comfort zone and doing something new to engage deeper with missions. If a few of us walk away from a day like today and say, I'm renewed in my commitment to worldwide evangelism, or I'm going to start something new, I'm going to start giving, or I'm going to plan to go, I'm going to start praying better, then today is worth it. Hasn't it been a blessing to hear from these ministries? Thank you, Wad and Lowell and Stephen. Thank you for sharing your heart with us. Thank you for the effort to come spend a day with First Baptist Wixom. It's been a real blessing to us. Next Sunday morning, we have a treat. Darcy Anderson is here, Danae Fonseca's sister, and she is headed on to the mission field, and she's going to share just a real brief presentation with us next Sunday morning. So we get a little bit of post-mission day mission talk next Sunday morning when we gather together. I'm told that there's some leftovers in the refrigerators in the kitchen, particularly the middle fridge. So if you'd like to help yourself to some of the Italian food specifically, but maybe some other leftovers that'll be there, you're welcome to stop by and grab some of that on your way out. Hope you enjoy the rest of your day today. We're not having classes tonight, so we'll look forward to seeing you on Wednesday or next Sunday. Would you stand with me? Let's pray as we prepare to dismiss. Let me remind you as well, if you have forgotten, I sent an email with some reminders of how to give love offerings for this weekend for our missionaries. Please participate in that. Father, thank you for the good time we've enjoyed together. Thank you for letting us hear from your word and be challenged. Thank you for reminding us of our responsibility to share the gospel in our community and the privilege we have to participate in doing this around the world. Bless these three missionary families and their work. Encourage them. Help us to be a blessing to them as they serve you around the world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. You are dismissed.
Thank you for watching this video of one of our recent services. It's a pleasure for us to have you join us from a distance and join our church in a time of worship around the Word of God. The most important message that we can tell you is that God loves you. And He loves you so much that He gave Jesus Christ as payment for your sins. And the Bible says that all that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. We want you to know that message, that true life is found in Jesus Christ. An eternal life, the opportunity to live with God forever in heaven, in spite of our sinfulness. True life is only found in Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you be willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Would you be willing to pray something like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I know there's nothing I can do about my sinfulness. I don't want to pay for my own sin, and I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want His death on the cross to pay for my sins. I want to repent from doing things my own way and make Jesus Lord of my life. Would you be willing to pray something like that and put your faith in Jesus Christ? If so, we want to help you as you start your spiritual journey with Jesus Christ. God loves you. Our church loves you. We're glad that you could watch this message today. God bless.